Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
The voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting live from Studio A, deep within the American Redoubt. We are broadcasting from the Free Zones. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You're tuned into the John Jacob Schmidt Show. My name is your name, too. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot in the fight, learning all you can about your heritage to find out prayerfully where you fit in this fight for liberty, for righteousness, and to stand against evil. Well, I hope you all had a blessed week. It was a very tumultuous week. I like that word. I've not used that word in a long time, but it's very fitting. We've got the situation finally peacefully resolved. I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. But don't forget, you can learn more about the message of Radio Free Redoubt by going to www.radiofreeredoubt.com. Follow us on Facebook. That's Facebook/Radio Free Redoubt. And we are staying on top of the issues in the fight, working with other influential members of the Patriot community to attempt to restore the Republic. But if it doesn't want to be restored, as it appears it does not, where they are rejecting Americanism, well, we're gathering in the Free Zones, pockets of already very conservative areas across the United States we call redoubts. A redoubt is a safe haven, a refuge, a fallback position. And that is basically where we are in our country. I heard something this week about something having to do with presidential, some type of election, presidential something. I don't know. There's something going on with presidential stuff, I heard. I'm just being facetious. No, it's just that you don't hear us talk about it that much. Why? Because we are so broken at the federal level that it does not even seem fixable at this point. And I've always contended, well, in recent years, I've contended that the only way that we are going to truly make an impact is at the local level, the government that's closest to you. And we want to advocate for folks getting involved locally. Franklin Graham was saying the same thing. He left the Republican Party that was announced, made official this week, because the party systems are so broken down and so corrupt, and the Republican Party is so infiltrated with Republicans in name only, we call rhinos, that they've lost their way. And one of the things that he proposed this week, and I completely agree with, is to urge God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots everywhere to get involved in your government. Run for the school board, county commissioner, local representative. Completely get immersed and engaged in this system. It's the fight for what's left of America. And I also submit that it is only really regionally that that is going to happen at this point, based on the demographics of regional values that seem to be concentrating. The American Redoubt being probably the most advanced, most organized step in that direction. You can also go to redoubtnews.com. They have a great Facebook page, and Redoubt News is bringing you issues that affect, we're partnered with, issues that affect you and I as Christian patriots. More on that as we go along. But today we are going to have a special guest join us, Mark Goodwin, the author and one of our sponsors, has a new book out, and it is something that I think that we should all sit up and pay attention to, because I really honestly believe it directly impacts us and might give us some, I guess, some material to try to understand what's happening in our country and hopefully some solutions to that. But let's get into the news and commentary. There's quite a bit of it from AP, UPI, and the major American networks. The news is next right here on Radio Free Redoubt. And it's brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. You can learn more about all 10 books, including the audiobooks, at 299days.com. International news. Well, from Alerts USA, we've got the director of national intelligence warning that Islamic State is likely to attempt attacks on the U.S. this year. He adds that the group is infiltrating the refugee flow to move across borders. And this comes at a time when they have our southern borders pretty much blown completely wide open. Also, on the 8th, they put out an alert that the CDC, Center for Disease Control, moves their emergency level 1 activation due to the Zika virus threat, which we will probably end up talking about today with Mark Goodwin. They renewed their warnings to pregnant women regarding travel to affected areas. And U.S. Gov braces for hijackers, public disclosure of personally identifying contact information for 30,000 DHS, FBI, and DOJ employees. And boy, do the FBI wants to know who you are. They want to hack into everything you've got and listen to every phone conversation. This government does, but you hack into their system and find out who they are and what they're doing. They do not like that one bit. Amazing. It's a one-way street. Now, in the thanks Obama category, Russia's President Medvedev says we are in a new Cold War. Russia and the U.S. clashed over how to carry out a day-old ceasefire plan for Syria, underscoring the tenuous level of trust between the two powers. As Secretary of State John Kerry said, peaceful efforts are at a pivotal stage. That's putting it lightly. On stage at a security conference in Germany, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov suggested that the U.S. is reneging on the agreement and put the chances of success at less than 50%. They're saying that we are headed toward a new Cold War, or that we are in a Cold War. Speaking of the government spying, Samsung put out a warning and confirmed that their new televisions, their technology does listen to every word. They're warning customers not to discuss personal information in front of their so-called smart TVs. You should call those invasive TVs. Samsung confirmed that it's a customer word, and the company is warning customers not to speak about personal information while near the TV sets. And I would also add your smartphone. Anything smart, don't discuss sensitive information around it. There are reasons why. We've talked about before, and we'll talk about more in the future. The company revealed that the voice activation feature on its smart TV will capture all nearby conversations. The TV sets can share the information, including sensitive data, with Samsung as well as third-party services. It doesn't really go into detail about who those third-party services might be. The company did add that it does not retain or sell the voice data, but it didn't name the third party that translates users' speech. Probably a NSA offshoot, an affiliate. Regional, praise God, the situation in Oregon at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge has been peacefully resolved with no further loss of life. Now, many of you followed this. Wednesday evening, the FBI began escalating the situation by moving multiple armored vehicles up to within 50 feet of the final four holdouts, three men and a woman. And the woman was the wife of one of the men held up in the refuge. Well, immediately, the Coalition of Western States, which is also goes by COWS, it is a coalition of legislators, clergy, conservative patriot organizations, advocacy groups that stand against overreach by federal government and that are working to try to get lands returned to the states to try to hold the federal government accountable and to protect property rights. They're involved in many things that we are concerned about and becoming increasingly active. But Wednesday night, everything started to really escalate. Now, there was a press release for the FBI siege of the refuge in Harney County from the Coalition of Western States that said that was Wednesday night when things started to escalate. They said they are currently involved in active negotiations with the FBI for the safe release of those wishing to leave the refuge. It appeared that the FBI did not want to let them leave the refuge. They were saying that they wanted the four to come out unarmed with their hands up, but after a string of, I guess, episodes where the citizens have increasingly or increasingly lost trust in the federal government, the FBI had been caught reneging on several things. So they were just distrustful. So they got on the phone. One in particular, Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore, was on the phone with them the entire time. They had the whole thing streaming live on YouTube. And the folks said that they would come out peacefully if Michelle Fiore from the Coalition of Western States and Reverend Franklin Graham were present. They wanted witnesses when they came out. And then they finally did. Several legislators from the Coalition of Western States, along with Franklin Graham, were headed to the refuge on Friday night. And everything finally peacefully resolved. Now, there was a very tense last couple of hours when Patriot lecturer and constitutional attorney Chris Ann Hall was on the phone with them when the last guy decided to hold out, and it was a two-hour standoff. He came out peacefully, finally, in the end, and praise God. All right, when we come back, Mark Goodwin, stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams. Since he is a new Christian and unfamiliar with the Holy Scriptures, he turns to an older pastor to help interpret the dreams. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack which will wipe out America's electric grid, sending the country into a technological dark age. Living in a nation where all life-sustaining systems of support are completely dependent on electricity and computers, the odds for survival are dismal. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
We'll be right back.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt, and you're listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show right here on the American Christian Network every Saturday on the terrestrial stations across the American Redoubt in Wenatchee, Yakima, Tri-City, Spokane, Northeast Oregon, North Idaho. Welcome, all of you guys. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you guys, and thank you for your prayers and your support. We are very grateful, and what a great group of people in this audience. Amazing patriots. They love the Lord. They love Americanism, and they're sitting up, they're paying attention, and they're looking for a place to get plugged in, especially for the challenges that we have in the days ahead. Now, this segment is brought to you by Werks Holsters. That's W-E-R-K-Z. They are an American Redoubt-based business that relocated to the American Redoubt for all the right reasons. And they feel much freer. And they're worthy of your support. Go check them out for custom-made holsters with a lifetime guarantee at Werks.com. All right. Now, this part here is exciting for me. Before I bring Mark on, somebody sent me something that I thought was kind of interesting, especially in this day and age when we're being referred to as domestic right-wing terror threats or extremists. They love the word extremist because that just pretty much gives them all kinds of latitude. You know, homeschoolers and returning veterans and those who vote for third-party candidates and leave the establishment two-party system. Those who fly Gadsden flags, that just irritates the snot out of them. But somebody sent this to me. It's interesting that it's titled "That Awkward Moment You Realize Your Government is a Terrorist." Terrorism was originally defined in the Oxford English Dictionary as, quote, "government by intimidation." Anybody feel that way? Anybody see any examples of that? Can't think of one. How about somebody with a flower shop who is fined and threatened with jail time for refusing to participate in a homosexual celebration with their services? Is that not intimidation? Who are the terrorists? That's what I want to know. Well, I think we all know. Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to bring on a friend of mine and someone who's so graciously been there to help Radio Free Redoubt, sponsoring Radio Free Redoubt. He's got a great podcast of his own, Prepper Recon, and he is now the author of, I lost track of how many books, Christian, dystopian type of author, and I love his writing. I love his stories, and he just keeps cranking them out. And he's joining us today to talk about his latest release, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. And this is book one. Mark, thank you for being with us.
John Jacob, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Okay, you've been busy. It doesn't seem like you've had too much downtime because I didn't even know you were working on this book, this new book series. And then I got, hey, this is new books coming out, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. And I'm like, that is an interesting name for a book, and really struck my curiosity. So tell us, what are we in for?
Yeah, and then the title for, and this is the first book in that series, and it's called Behold Darkness and Sorrow. So you can tell it's just going to be a real warm and fuzzy, happy puppy dogs and sunshine type of book.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, I have to comment on what you just said about us being viewed as domestic terrorists, because I've just been thinking about this and this whole thing with what went on at the wildlife refuge in Oregon. It's driving me crazy. You know, when folks burn down towns and torch police cars in Baltimore and Ferguson, they're, quote, given room to destroy, you know, and I'm wondering, why aren't we given room to be peaceful, you know? But I think that it's because we don't come together like other minority communities. And I think that's because of our failure to recognize our minority status, because just because we're not a protected class, regardless of the color of your skin, if you're a God-fearing conservative Christian who believes in the Constitution, you're a minority.
You are, but see, you're viewed as the oppressor.
Yeah, and yellow, red, black, or white, you're a problem in their sight. So just because – so, you know, because we don't come together in the numbers other minorities do, we're – I think we're getting easy to push around.
Well, so, you know, and also you're so right. And on that note, with the just the wanton destruction in Ferguson and Baltimore, not only – do they just hold back, let them burn everything to the ground with very few charges and arrests? But not only do they basically restrain the authorities from being able to keep the peace, they turn around this week and announce that they are suing – the federal government is suing Ferguson. I mean, nothing like putting salt in the wound.
Do you think they're going to sue the FBI?
No, it's – the FBI is going to be investigating them for hate crimes and I had the article. I wanted to use the exact wording, but it was just a pattern and a series of racial inequality or something along those lines. But I'm just shaking my head, thinking, man, these – but no accountability for the lawbreakers. Now in Ferguson, when they first – no, let me back up. In Malheur, the wildlife refuge, they started out with, well, a bunch of cowboys and a few guys with guns saying, we're going to stay here until the end and we're going to, you know, resist by all means necessary. Bad move tactically. Okay, but then they toned it down and said, you know what? No, we need to educate the people. This isn't about guns. We're going to camp out here. They totally backed off from that, freely coming and going. Citizens were going out there. There was no standoff. And the only militia presence that I saw that could be termed threatening was when the 3% and Oath Keeper groups went out there. They set up a camp and we said, we're just going to make sure that there's not a Waco type situation again. We want this peacefully resolved. We're not going to get in your grill. We're not going to interfere. We're not going to cause problems. But we are here, and we're here to ensure that there is not a repeat of Waco, where these people are just burned to the ground, you know, without any attempt to peacefully resolve this. So, and of course, even then, that should have been in the background. You know, I thought that the well, I have all kinds of thoughts on that, but. You get my point.
Yeah. Back to the book. Yes. You mentioned the title "Ugly and Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt." Of course, you know that harkens to the dream of Pharaoh that he has back in Genesis. And you – in his dream, you have the seven skinny cows that come up out of the Nile River, and they eat the seven fat cows, which is a symbol of a coming famine upon America. And so. The protagonist in my book, Danny Walker, he's a young Christian, and he starts having prophetic dreams also about ugly and gaunt cows. Of course, his are like a little bit more spread out. They don't all come at once. So he's getting them sort of piecemeal and getting little revelations from each one. And he's a new Christian, so he doesn't really have a great understanding of the scriptures. So he has to go to an older, more seasoned pastor to help him sort of interpret these dreams. And through one of his dreams, he learns that there's an EMP coming upon the U.S., and it's a direct result of God's abandonment wrath. So after years of protecting a nation that uses his name as a curse word, murders the innocents, evicts the Bible from the classroom, sets up a legislator that defies God's definition of marriage, God just basically removes the hedge from around America, just as he did for ancient Israel. I know that you're a big student of the Bible, but in Isaiah 5, 4 mm-hmm. through 6, it says, "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." And I think it's really curious that statement that says there shall come up briars and thorns, because if you think back to the very first an original sin in the garden, you know, one of the curses for the disobedience theirs was the briars and thorns. And yeah. And that's always been symbolic of God's curse for disobedience. And then in Deuteronomy 28, we've got the long list of God's promises for blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And, you know, in that verse in Isaiah, it says, I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. And that's one of the curses in Deuteronomy 28 that you hear again. So this idea of blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience is all through the scripture. And
yes, it is. Yeah, I want to talk about some specific examples and draw that parallel between the United States and what Israel faced, you know, right after the break. We'll spend the remainder of the show talking about that, because this is so applicable to us today in America. And I think that your book is just so timely, because this really puts a personal touch on getting inside the head of an American citizen watching these things from the days of old come to fruition in our own country. And we do have those two options right before our eyes. We have blessings or we have curses. And it's really a choice for us as a nation, which we want. Both of them are laid out there for us, and we are not making good choices. And not there's consequences to that, no doubt. So, I'm looking forward to really getting into this, and especially some of the specific examples with what we're seeing in our country taking place compared to what Israel, look, God's people, he loved them. He wanted to redeem them. He wanted to bless them abundantly, and he did bless them abundantly, but he's a just God, so he can only take so much, right?
Right. And out of all of that, you know, God's his purpose in that for Israel wasn't to destroy them, but was to bring them to a place of repentance. Yes. So a lot of times that shakeup that God gives you, it's not to kill you. It's not because of his wrath. It's to get your attention and to bring you back to him.
It's about redemption. He wants to redeem us. Look, even afterward, he threw the Israelites into bondage, and he delivered them. He delivered them. You know, so we'll talk about that. We are with Mark Goodwin, author of a new book, just released at the beginning of a book series, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book One. When we come back, right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist, simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture, or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
This is the Voice of the American Readout, going into segment three and the final segment. Here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, we are joined by Mark Goodwin, author of a new book just released, and it is titled Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. And if you are just joining us, We're talking about the reference to the dream that Pharaoh had back in, well, Exodus. And so, Mark, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking around. And congratulations on your new book. So let's continue on where we left off from. This is a guy in the United States now, a new Christian, starting to have dreams that he doesn't understand. He goes to an elder, somebody, a mature, seasoned Christian, and says, man, I'm having these dreams. Can you explain these to me? And then the story unfolds from there. So let's continue on.
All right. So Danny and his friends, of course, they know that this is coming. So they have to do everything they can to try to get prepared before America is basically plunged into a technological dark age. So, you know, I try to weave a lot of prepper knowledge in there and some good tips for prepping. I try to do that with all my books. You know, it's great to entertain, and that's something that I really feel like God's laid on my heart to try to do, is to try to provide some good, wholesome entertainment, because I don't have any swearing in my books. Obviously, certainly no use of God's name as a swear word, no F-bombs, sure. No torrid sex scenes, because there's so much of that stuff out there already. So there I want to try to provide something for folks to read that it's, you know, it's not going to grieve the spirit inside them when they read it. So, but besides the entertainment, I want to try to take an opportunity to try to weave a little teaching in there as well. So I try to give some prepper facts and prepper tips in there as well.
So in this one, you're really orienting it toward preparing for an EMP type of an event, correct?
Right. Which, you know, whether it's an economic collapse, an EMP, or a zombie apocalypse, all the basics are always going to be the same. You know, yes. you gotta have a source of water. You gotta have food. You gotta have food storage. You have to figure out how you're gonna take care of security, comms. Which comms, you know, that sort of shifts when you start thinking about EMP, because you're going to have to have some stuff, especially if you know one's coming. You're going to have some stuff laid aside that's protected, that's not part of what you're using every day. So, you know, there's little things like the Baofengs that are so cheap you can actually get one and just leave it in the cardboard box that you get that it comes from Amazon, and wrap that thing up in aluminum foil, stick that in a Mylar bag, and then stick it in a 30 caliber ammo can, and put some of that metal duct tape around it, and that should protect it. And you can have a couple of those, three or four of them, that you'd be able to use after an EMP to at least secure your perimeter. So there's some easy stuff to do like that. And one of the easiest ways, you know, because there's so many different – some people are always going to give you different ideas of how to build a Faraday cage and what's going to work best. But the test is going to be is if you can take a Baofeng or a walkie-talkie or whatever, and you can put it in whatever your proposed EMP shield is, whatever your Faraday cage is, and you can key the mic on one and the other one doesn't pick it up, that means that you've blocked it from radio waves, which the EMP that's propagated very similar to the way a radio wave is. So if you've blocked it from a radio wave, chances are you've got a pretty decent shield against an EMP.
Yeah. And of course now, you know, just when you think you got it figured out and you're making headway toward protecting sensitive electronic equipment, you know, then you start hearing about, oh, they've just developed a super EMP and now it requires, you know, this much protection, and you're just throwing your hands in the air, you know. But we don't know. And, you know, now with the high solar activity, you know, we have the coronal mass ejection, the CME threat from solar flares, you know, and then now we have North Korea conducting multiple nuclear warhead testing that just put a satellite into orbit that's making a lot of people very nervous. And so, you know, we'll see. But really what this comes down to is I believe, and I think you do too, that these are things that very well could be used to execute judgment against the nation that has been so abundantly blessed and rejected, turned its back on God and declared war on God in so many areas, that those things could very well be intended for this nation as judgment.
And so, it that's the second KMS satellite that North Korea just sent up. So there's actually now two that are revolving around and both circling right over the top of the U.S. as they move. And Dr. Peter Pry, who was the on the Congressional EMP Task Force for Congress, and he served as a nuclear strategist for the CIA for several years. He's fairly convinced that those house the warhead that are specifically designed to generate an EMP. So now there's two of them. Like you said, the second one just went up right before Super Bowl. So now we've got two of those things revolving around us. And another thing that he's mentioned, and you know, he fought with Congress to try to get them to fund a bill that would protect our critical infrastructure against an EMP. And it would cost about $2 billion, which is roughly what we give Pakistan, an Islamic nation that persecutes Christians. We give them about that much in foreign aid every year. So we could cut off their foreign aid for 1 year and completely fund this, and Congress won't pass that. And to me, you know, another one of the curses in Deuteronomy 28 is confusion of mind. And that's when I look at Washington, D.C., and when I look at our entire society, that's what I see, is confusion of mind, but particularly for them to not fund something that would be such an easy fix in such a relatively for such a catastrophic threat, a relatively cheap fix.
Yes.
Represents that confusion of mind that God talks about in Deuteronomy 28.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I've actually mentioned that scripture many times. I've read through it. I've commented on different components of Deuteronomy 28. Now, yes, this was is God talking to the Israelites, but it's a model that we can see how God, his promises and his blessings and his judgment applies to his people. And we would be just, I think, naive at best, arrogant to think that his standards for blessings or judgment do not apply to a formerly Christian nation who's rejected him. And in 28, this is where in our nation we do the most asinine things that everybody's shaking their heads going, what are you thinking? Well, opening our borders wide open, bringing in Muslim refugees, knowing that ISIS is using that as a Trojan horse strategy to bring enemies in, with our finances, printing more money and making all the wrong moves. It just defies logic. And Deuteronomy 28, verse 28 says, "The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do." So as long as we reject God, we try to fix all these problems. We try to fix violence, right? And so let's take all the guns off the streets. But they're so mad, they've lost their minds. They either reject or can't see the real solution is, you know, the spiritual sickness. You know, we have more people per capita armed, you know, 50 years ago, and we didn't have the type of violence that we see today. This is a spiritual issue, but they can't see it. They're blind. They're blinded.
Absolutely. And looking at, and also in the book, I try to get into some of the things, some of the reasons that I think that God would probably want to hold this country to account. And obviously there's the abortion issue, 60 million children killed since Roe versus Wade, something like 3,288 children daily are murdered in abortion mills. And there's, you know, there's very, very little outcry about it. And I've went through that in my Days of Noah series. I looked at those types of things. And I also looked at that in my Economic Collapse Chronicles series. In this book, one of the things I did a little differently is I did start to get on the case of the church at large, because there's so much apostasy in, yes, in the people that would call themselves Christians. We saw so many folks that just went along with the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage from the church community, that this basically just rubber stamped it and had nothing to say against it. And well, and there's so many of these itchy ear pastors out there, and they're a dime a dozen. But now we're starting to see folks that have typically been somewhat respectable pastors. I just saw a video 2 days ago on YouTube, and it's a couple of months old, but people can look it up on YouTube if they want. But it was David Jeremiah and Robert Jeffers, two very traditionally thought to be very respectable pastors, yes, and they were praying over Donald Trump that God would bless him to win the nomination. And this is way back before you know Rand Paul or anybody else has dropped out of the race. Right. You know, and I'm thinking, this man is a whoremonger. He owns casinos, which rob weak-minded people. He owns bars, which the Bible talks, yeah, a lot about. You know, yes, wicked things that cause people to sin, but woe to the man by whose hand they come. And he owns, yes, strip clubs, which are often just painted over brothels. And, right, you know, they're not in this video, they're not praying for his salvation. They're not praying for this man to repent. They're praying that God would essentially help him win the nomination. And don't get me wrong. If Trump gets the nomination, I'll be up before the sun to go vote for him, because, you know, given the alternatives, I'd vote for Darth Vader over Hillary or Comrade Bernie. And, yeah, it's not the lesser of two evils here. You're literally sending somebody into a room for the next 4 years with a hole puncher and the Constitution. So you better do everything you can to make sure the guy with the smallest hole puncher is the one that ends up in that room.
Yeah, I understand that. And like I've always said, look, when the time comes, we are such an apostate church nation when the time comes, and the solution is not in Washington D.C. ever will it be in this current state of affairs. And you still, when the time comes, need to pray about it and vote your conscience. But you're right, there's in the church we have apostasy where they're actually condoning or accepting it, making excuses for things like, well, let's use the homosexual, you know, example, or the Islamization of America, and accepting it and embracing it. And where you don't have apostasy, you have ignorance and apathy, where they just shrug and they don't care. And I think this is one of the most harmful doctrines that's crept into the church, is the easy way out to say, oh, well, this is a fallen world, and so what do you expect? We're just passing through. This is not our home. So it's their way of saying, hands off for me. I don't have to get in the fight. I don't have to roll up my sleeves, because even though it is a fallen world and they're so willing to give it over and not fight and resist the devil and demonic influences in this world, that they're using that as a way to just check out and not get in the fight and not do what Jesus has called us to do, and that's occupy until he comes.
Amen.
And this is it's very frustrating, and we were told this was going to happen, but you know, God's always looking for a remnant. And I pray that he will select me, that I'm worthy to be considered to be part of that remnant, to be used by him for his glory in the most amazing times in history. And people say, man, it would be interesting to live. It'd be awesome to live in Bible times. I'm like, you are living in Bible times.
Wow.
So step up to the plate. Get in the fight. And most of the people too, I don't mean to steal all this away from you, but you really triggered some thoughts. The folks that will not fight physically, I mean, they won't get engaged with the system. They won't protest. They won't write letters to their congressman. They won't run for office and try to make changes because we're just passing through. They not only are not fighting in the physical realm, those same kind of people, I've seen a trend. They don't fight in the spiritual realm either. They're not on their knees fighting these spiritual battles spiritually, because the ones that I see that are also engaged physically. In other words, they're engaged in their community. They're running for office. They're writing letters to their editors, to their elected officials. They're trying to get others engaged. And you're usually not one or the other. So when people aren't willing to get in the fight to fight for righteousness where you can see it, they're often not doing it where you can't see it on the spiritual side. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're just complacency is just I think that that's Laodicea, right? Complacency, because, you know, they're not really doing anything bad, but they're not doing anything good. And yeah. And that's the thing that makes Jesus want to vomit that church out of his mouth. He just can't stand it because they're so apathetic. They're so complacent and they're doing nothing.
Now, I haven't received your book yet, and I'm looking very much forward to it, but you're talking about the judgment on America. And one of the things in Deuteronomy that struck out at me is in verse 18, the fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. But I thought that was interesting, especially in light of now we are seeing this new scare, this pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, of this Zika virus. Have you been following that very closely?
Yeah, I have. And you're right. And it seems like it's one thing after another. Yeah. Now we've got the Zika virus, and that's a new thing that we're having to worry about. And this is looking sort of global.
Yes.
And another thing that's global, I know that Fox 519, I know that he does a really, really good job of covering this every week on Radio Free Readout, at least on the Sunday night show. The global economy is just absolutely tanking, and it's not just Prepper Recon and Michael Snyder over at the Economic Collapse blog and Alex Jones and it's not just us anymore. Now it's Citibank. They recently said the global economy is in a death spiral. So that's a yes. Quote. RBS. They said sell everything. Deutsche Bank said to prepare for the perfect economic storm. UBS is calling for a 30% bear market and $3,300 an ounce gold. So, I mean, these are all mainstream banks. These aren't fear-mongering yes. Prepper sites like Prepper Recon, you know.
And you're right. You know, 5 year ago's conspiracy theory is today's headlines, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, I mean, I'm not getting into, you know, contrails and aliens and, you know, stuff like that. I'm talking about just – and, you know, many of the people that I know of that has been sounding the alarm for the longest time are not financial experts. There are the people that are paying attention to financial experts, military, political, geopolitics. They're connecting dots on their own. In other words, you don't have to be an expert specialist with a master's degree to see something's not right, that a storm is brewing. Anybody who with their eyes open can see something isn't right and something bad could come from all of this, and it's only prudent, you know, to prepare. And you get into this with your book, right? I mean, so he has advance warning. So he begins preparing, and that starts him on his journey for preparing for this judgment that's coming. Right.
Right. Yeah. They're in Savannah. He's a young college student. His girlfriend's a art student, and his friend's also an art student. And you know, and through thinking through this all through, they say, you know what, we've got to find a place to go when this all happens. And so they start pre-positioning supplies at his grandmother's house and figuring out how they're going to get there and all of that, because, you know, without knowing when it's going to be, they can't just pick up their – they can't just throw away the life that they have to go run off and hide out, because, I mean, a lot of people did that for Y2K, and then they ended up feeling maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I should have just, you know, sort of hedged my bets a little bit rather than going all in on this, because, you know, while they know it's coming, they don't know when. So could it be 10 years? Could it be 20 years? We don't know. So we got to continue to sort of live our lives. And that's always the thing that preppers have to go through, is they have to figure out, you know, I need to hedge myself in case this happens tomorrow. And then I need to hedge myself in case this happens 20 years from now, because the people that go all in on either side are very, very much at risk. So that's one of the things that the characters have to deal with, is keeping it balanced, you know. And I think that people they either let a spirit of fear push them too far in one area, and they'll get out of balance on the preparedness side, and then other people let the spirit of complacency get them out of balance on the other side of doing nothing, and I think that both of those things can end up being wrong, and it's always about trying to find balance and being prepared for whatever.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, I've tried to drive that message home. I know you have as well, that you can be so consumed and sold out to the prepping side of things. You become this, you know, super prepper, that you are so disengaged from culture, from any solutions, from the rebuilding process, all those things that would be necessary for you to have a say in what type of culture that, you know, comes out the other side of that. You have to be engaged. I know that many, and this is what, you know, concerns me, is many just have a hunker down mentality, and then they're going to survive this thing, come out the other side of it, and then go back to life as normal. Like somebody else is going to fix it or rebuild some society for them to come out of on the other end. But that somebody has to be those patriots, those that want to ensure that Americanism is revived, reinstituted. Because here's the problem. Somebody else is already planning what that afterward is going to look like. And it does not have anything – it does not look anything like Americanism or American heritage in mind. So I think the patriots need to be thinking about that rebuilding process too. The prepping is to get us through an event so that we can start, well, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem afterward.
Right. And now on the subject of prepping and doing a balanced prep, I did write a book with David Kobler. It's called The 7-Step Survival Plan. And yes, it's all about trying to get your prepping in order. And because it's such a daunting task when you first wake up to the need to prepare, that people get overwhelmed. So we try to break that all down to a step-by-step process where everything's prioritized. You know, this is the most important thing. This is the second most important thing. This is the third most. And you do all those things in orders, and you're becoming progressively more prepared as you're doing each one of those things. And it's breaking it all down into small bite-sized tasks so you can actually accomplish them. And what I'm doing for the new book, for 7 Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Book 1, is we're having a contest. We usually have a big giveaway on PrepperRecon.com every time a new book comes out. And so this we're doing that again. So what we're going to do is one first prize winner is going to win a Prepper Recon individual first aid kit. So you'll win the – it's a nice Molly compatible kit, and it'll be in your choice of colors, whatever color your gear is. We've got Coyote, ACU, OD Green, Black, whatever color all your stuff is, it'll match. And that hooks onto a Molly vest or a Molly pack, and it's got Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, suture kit, EMT shares, tourniquets, all that stuff in there, like a very comprehensive trauma kit.
Okay, so we're running out of time real quickly, like we always do. So yeah. I just want to point the new book. We also have it posted at radiofreeredoubt.com. If you click through the Amazon link, then that also helps support Radio Free Readout and Mark.
Awesome.
But when you go to Amazon, you'll see I just looked it up, and there's all the instructions right there for entering into that contest. So not only get the book, but a chance to get other gear as well.
Right.
So, and then just talk about your website and your podcast real quick too, so folks can go and learn more about what you offer.
Sure. And you can go to the website, it's prepperrecon.com, and you'll learn about the giveaway. And everybody that enters is going to get a free PDF copy of my 7-step survival plan. So that's a big thing. Everybody wins. And it's easy. You just leave a review for Behold Darkness and Sorrow, and you send me an email at prepperrecon@gmail.com, and we'll have the drawing on March 12th.
Perfect. That is really good. And that 7-step plan also is right there at Prepper Recon as well, correct?
Right. Yeah. But if you enter the drawing, you're automatically going to win that for free.
Good. And all it takes is writing a review. Just writing
That's
a review.
Right. Easy enough.
That is really great. Well, we are looking so forward to that. Mark, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you for your continued support, and just God bless you and your hand. All that you set your hand to with the work that you're doing. You're not only helping people prepare for troubling times ahead, you're also interweaving the gospel into all of that. And that is something that is so encouraging to see. I want to thank you for taking the time to do that in your work. Thank you. God bless you.
John Jacob, thanks for all you do at Radio Free Readout.
Thank you, sir. All right. Mark Goodwin, folks. This is Radio Free Readout. Join us tomorrow night for our weekly podcast, 8 p.m. at radiofreeredoubt.com. God bless. This is John Jacob out.